Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
And again, we're talking about taking action against sexist dress codes. At least that's today's lesson. Last time we talked about an unreasonable request, and that request was made by Jason to Nellie. What exactly was that unreasonable request?
He had a problem with her shoes. And he then went on to tell her that she needed to wear high-heeled shoes to work. And, of course, she had flats on because flats are more comfortable if you're walking around the office all day. And he said it was part of the dress code for her to wear high heels and also makeup, which is kind of crazy. But if a company has it in their dress policy and you've agreed to work for that company, you have to follow their requirements. You have to comply with the rules, or they can fire you.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised that he needed to bring that up with her after she had been hired. This stuff should have been mentioned when she was applying for the job. They should have told her that these are their policies, and then she could either accept them or not. But
yeah.
Evidently, she thinks that this is unreasonable. It's offensive. It's ridiculous. And she can't stand for it. She won't stand for this particularly sexist policy. So she's going to take action against this sexist dress code. And I guess what you do is you gather signatures for a petition and then you present it to the government so that they might change the law or something regarding this.
I think you mentioned something that's interesting. You started to use the phrase can't stand something. If you use can't stand, then don't use for, guys, right? I can't stand something. Something is a noun. But if you stand for, then you have to use the for, the preposition. I won't stand for this. We don't usually say I can't stand for this. I've never heard that, but I won't stand for something. So she's not happy. She's going to fight it, and we're going to see what happens. So in today's unit, we're taking action against sexist dress codes. If you have a dress code you don't agree with, you can quit. You can go get a job somewhere else, or you can fight to have the dress code changed. I don't know how many friends you'd make among the management at the company, but you can always try, especially if you work for a government company. You'll want to fight it because we're all the government. So let's go ahead and read today's article, and then we'll be back to break down some of these terms and phrases. Introduction. This petition seeks to make it illegal for companies to require women to wear high heels and makeup at work. Once we have obtained 10,000 signatures, the government must respond to this petition. If we can acquire 100,000 signatures, the petition must be debated in the legislature. Background. Ms. Nellie Shaw was dismissed from her position at Crawford & Sons for refusing to comply with its dress code policy. The policy, which forces female workers to wear high heels and makeup, is currently legal. We call for this law to be changed. As a result of this incident, Crawford & Sons has changed its dress code policy. The manager responsible for firing Ms. Shaw has since left the company. However, there are many companies that still enforce similar dress codes. Justification. The law as it stands allows companies to hold outdated and sexist standards for employees. There is also evidence to show that such dress codes can lead to workers suffering harassment both from their clients and their colleagues, particularly senior colleagues. Furthermore, scientific surveys have shown that on average, women report pain after 1 hour and 6 minutes of wearing high heels. Around 20% of women report feeling pain after just 10 minutes. Therefore, forcing women to wear high heels for extended periods negatively affects their health. Please sign this petition and help to change this discriminatory law.
Okay, everybody, we're taking action against sexist dress codes, and this is a result of Nellie being very upset at her company's dress code policy. She has to wear high heels, and she also has to wear makeup. She thinks this is inappropriate, it's offensive, it's unreasonable, it's discrimination, it's outdated, and she used a lot of adjectives to describe how she felt about this situation. So she said that she's she's not going to stand for this. She won't stand for this. She cannot accept it. And she's going to do something about it. She's going to take action against these sexist dress codes. Okay, she thinks they're sexist. They discriminate against women. They require them to wear high heels and makeup and stuff where they don't make the same request to men or whatever. But in any case, when you prepare a petition, you need to include a certain amount of information. You need to introduce the topic to the people and the government and the people who are going to read it and stuff like that. So again, this is a petition, which is like a formal written document, usually with lots of signatures from people, that is presented to the government to make some kind of request that they change the law or change some kind of policy or adapt a certain policy.
That's right. So what do they need to do? Well, they're trying to make it illegal for companies to require women to do two things, wear high heels and wear makeup at work. And once they've obtained 10,000 signatures, the government has to respond. If you obtain something, you get it. You might not have to work very hard to get it, but you get it. So they get or obtain 10,000 signatures. You can also use acquire or secure. They secure 10,000 signatures. So they get those signatures from different people. And then the government is forced to respond to the petition. If you respond, you answer. It could be verbally. You might have someone say something to you and you respond by answering them back. So you're answering verbally. You can respond by a written method. Maybe you write an email or send a text, but you're answering whatever somebody has said to you. But the government has to acknowledge, yes, there's this petition and we've got 10,000 people who aren't happy about something, so we need to deal with it.
Right, and sometimes you are required to have a certain number of signatures. A signature, of course, is when somebody signs their name. You will have a signature on legal documents, for example. If you're going to withdraw money from the bank or something, you need to supply your signature. I don't know how petitions work in Taiwan here, if voters or whoever are required to chop their signature or use a chop or something like that. I'm not quite sure how it works or whether you have petitions here, but this is part of the democratic process. When there's something you disagree with and you want to make your voice heard, you will write a petition and get those signatures, and then the government needs to respond to that petition.
Yeah, so we've got them there with their petition. They've got the signatures. Now, if they can get more, and if they can get up to 100,000 signatures, then that means they actually have to debate this issue, this petition, in the legislature, which is the legislative UN here in Taiwan, which is really what they want to have happen because they want the law to be changed. Now, the background just means what brought about this whole petition. Why do we have this petition and have people trying to sign it? Well, there was a lady named Miss Nellie Shaw, and she was dismissed from her position at Crawford & Sons because she would not comply with their dress code policy. So when we last left Nellie and Jason, he was threatening her. And it turns out when she said she wasn't going to stand for it, that she was actually going to just refuse to obey and they would be forced to fire her. If you're dismissed from a job, you don't retire. You're not laid off. You're actually fired. So be careful with the words you use when you talk about employment, because to be laid off is very different from being dismissed or fired, which means you did something that they did not like. And you don't get any severance, which is money they give you to help you for the first couple of weeks sometimes when you get laid off.
Exactly. So she was fired. She was dismissed. She was canned. You could also say she was let go of. They let her go. She is no longerworking for that company, and she does not have her position at this company, which is called Crawford & Sons. And the reason she was dismissed, the reason she was fired, is because she refused to comply with the company's dress code policy. She did not comply with it. She did not obey. She did not observe the policy.She wore flats to the office. She did not wear makeup, and they did not like that, so they let her go. And the policy, which forces female workers to wear high heels, and makeup is currently legal. So I guess they were within their legal rights to fire her. It was their policy, and the law says it's okay for companies to have a dress policy or a dress code, which involves high heels or makeup. So the law...It's legal, okay, so they did not do anything illegal, but the reason she has this petition is because they simply want to change that law.
Yeah, it says here they're calling for the law to be changed. If you call for something to happen, you kind of tell people publicly you want this to take place. So they're making a big deal about it. They're probably getting a lot of media attention and trying to get a lot of press so that they're in the newspaper and on TV, letting people know that they're trying to do this. So they're calling for or asking the law to be changed. Sometimes students will call for a specific change in their own schools. I know that they've been talking about changing dress uniforms. I don't think uniforms are required in Taiwan schools anymore, which is good for some people. I actually would prefer to wear a uniform because then you don't have to think about clothes. But students want a little bit more freedom, so they called for that particular law to be changed. Well, let's get back to Nellie. As a result of this incident, her being fired from her job, Crawford & Sons actually has changed its dress code policy on their own. Now, they're trying to change the law in the whole country, but Crawford & Sons has already learned their lesson. They've changed their dress code policy, even though it actually cost them Nellie. She left or was fired.
Yeah, they probably had no choice. Nellie was probably a really good employee, and they probably didn't want to do it. But because she did not comply with the dress code, they had to do something. They had to teach her a lesson and let the other employees know that you can't get away with that. So they let her go, and she was fired. But then later they realized the error of their ways, and they thought, yeah, that is an unreasonable dress code. We should change it. So as a result, they did change their dress code policy, and the manager responsible for firing Ms. Shaw has since left the company. Maybe he felt bad about that, or there was too much bad publicity, or it was harming his reputation, or whatever. So he left the company and tried to find another job someplace else. Or maybe he became unemployed. I don't know, living under a bridge or something like that. But however, there are many companies that still enforce similar dress codes. So even though one company changed its dress code, there are lots of other companies that still enforce these dress codes. So they still want to change the law. To enforce something usually means that the government actually punishes people for committing crimes. Sometimes you see people running red lights and stuff like that, and speeding, going too fast and things like that. And you think, the reason they're doing that is because the police are not enforcing the laws. Mm-hmm. They don't stop people enough and give them tickets. They just let people get away with this stuff, and therefore everybody does it all the time.
So there are some companies that are still enforcing similar dress codes that say, oh, you must wear high heels and makeup. So justification means why something is right or reasonable. Why is this law justified, or why is it justified that we change the law? Justification, the reason why something should be done. The law as it stands, as it currently is written, allows companies to hold outdated and sexist standards for employees. Things were very different even in the 70s, or especially in the 50s. That's when my parents were young. The ideas about what a woman was and what she did were very different from today. So they're outdated. We don't believe those anymore. And some of these standards are still sexist. I think a lot of times these companies want high heels for the women's just because the guys like how women look in high heels. That's sexist.
Well, I don't care either way, but in any case here, these laws and these standards, I guess, were established way, way in the past, so that's why it's saying that these things are outdated. There's also evidence to show that such dress codes can lead to workers suffering harassment, both from their clients and their colleagues, particularly senior colleagues. So, yes, indeed, there is some evidence. They've done some research, some educational institutions, Americans have done some surveys and found that these dress codes can actually lead to workers suffering harassment, which could be true. Harassment means people bother you. They give you intimidation or pressure.
Ooh.
We oftentimes hear about sexual harassment, like, you know, men, male employees kind of coming on to their female employees inappropriately during office hours, saying things to them.
What happens is a guy kind of forces a girl, if you don't go out with me, I'll make life difficult for you. That's harassment. So we've got these problems with workers suffering harassment, both from clients and their colleagues, especially those older guys, those little goats in the office. Now, furthermore, scientific surveys have shown that on average, women report pain after 1 hour and 6 minutes of wearing high heels. I used to always wear high heels. I don't even think it would take an hour to have your feet hurting. So if you take a survey, you have a series of questions that you ask people answers for. You write down the responses and see, you know, how people feel about whatever you're surveying them for. A survey is also a noun and a verb. I hear it mispronounced in Taiwan all the time because I work with business clients. It's not survey. That's a verb. Survey is the noun. So be careful with that one, guys.
So these surveys have shown that on average, women report pain after 1 hour and 6 minutes of wearing high heels. So I guess that's what they say. If they wear high heels for that period of time, they will report pain. Of course, that's on average. And around 20% of women reported feeling pain after just 10 minutes. So yes, even if they wear them for just 10 minutes, they start to feel pain in their feet. And my knowledge myself is that high heels are actually pretty bad for your feet in the first place. But I guess some companies require their female employees to wear them. Therefore, forcing women to wear high heels for extended periods negatively affects their health. Extended means for an extra period of time, for very, very long periods of time. And maybe some of these women have to work overtime. So they might be wearing high heels up to 12 hours a day, perhaps even longer.
Right. So you got to be careful with that. They're not comfortable, and they not only hurt your feet, they'll hurt your back too. So be careful with those. The very final sentence, of course, please kind of plead with people to sign the petition. Please sign this petition and help to change this discriminatory law. When you're talking about discrimination, an adverb or an adjective that you'll often see is discriminatory. This law is discriminatory. So we'll see what happens. For now, that's where we're going to leave this, although we've got some discussion questions coming up right after we listen to our Chinese teacher.
Hi, everyone. My name is Jenny. 今天我们要继续来看这跟多益的文章。前面我们有一个对话内容说到有关于办公室里面服装仪容的规定是不是也代表一种性别歧视呢？好，那顺着上一次的话题，今天我们就来看看如果你要采取行动要去请愿的话，哎，这个请愿书里面的内容是怎么写的？先提到 sexist， 我们之前已经说过了 ，sexist 这个字它其实是形容词，也是名词。那这个地方的 sexist dress codes 指的就是一个形容词的用法，这种性别歧视的服仪规定。好，这个这边当然它是一份请愿书，所以它总共有三个部分。第一个部分 introduction， 我们先看引言，当然就要说明一下这个请愿书它里面的主旨在哪里。好 ，this petition， 好，我们知道。Petition 这个字就代表请愿书，那他的目的，就是说他希望呢公司改变之前原来对于高跟鞋啦，对于这个女性员工一定要化妆的这样子的规定，希望这个要能改变，因为他们认为这是不合法的。好，那这个下面有一句，他说到 ，Once we have obtained 10,000 signatures， 先看到这个 once， 它其实它是一个连接词哦。当然，它在这边的用法，连接词后面加一个子句，而 once 的解释是什么呢？它表示一旦怎么样，一怎么样就怎么样。我们一旦如果有得到了一万个签名，那这个请愿书政府就必须要做出回应来了。 好，再来下面呢就开始说，当政府要回应的意思就是说立法机关必须要来讨论这一份请愿书。那我们接下来下一段就提到那背景主旨说完了，为什么会有这个请愿书？当然我们前面的对话就已经告诉大家 Miss Nelly， 这位 Nelly 女士，她就是不愿意遵守这样的规定。好，她呢因为拒绝这样子的规定而结果她被解雇了。好，她说不遵从这样的规定。For refusing to comply with its dress code policy. 看到 comply with, comply 这个字就是代表遵循、遵从，不过它后面遵循什么？哎，要接介系词 with, comply with 这两个字要注意它的collocation 搭配词用法，介系词不要用错哦。好，后面继续来看，当然因为这个事件，所以说我们就要求要更改这个法律。那下面这句 As a result of this accident， 这个片语 As a result of， 我们知道当我们要谈一个因果关系，这个片语就很适合因为什么，因为这个事件的关系，这个事件的缘故，所以现在这家公司呢，它已经变更了它的服装规定政策。好，那我们看到这边因跟果很清楚。好，接下来下一句，哎， The manager responsible for firing Ms. Shaw has since left the company. 好，他的结果呢，其实这个经理，也就是把 Nelly 给解雇了的这个经理，他之后也离开公司了。看到这个地方谈到这位经理后面有一个 responsible for， 这个其实是一个形容词片语哦。你这个形容词片语它用来修饰前面 the manager， 如果说你今天是要把它写的完整一点，我们来回复一下它完整的，哎，加了一个关系子句的句型，那就会是 the manager who was responsible for。 好，我们知道这样子的 who 去掉 be 动词不要了，你可以直接简化为一个 responsible for 这样的形容词片语，在后面修饰 manager。 好，简而言之，其实就是负责的人现在已经离开公司了。接下来下面的这一段，好，下面这一段呢Justification， 我们要看到请愿的理由，理由为什么我们认为我们现在这个请愿书是应该要做的，因为他说现在的法律啊，其实呢，他公司里面对员工有这些性别歧视的规范跟要求，其实是不应该的。我们现在来看到 The law as it stands 这个开头的地方，我们知道谈到法律，但是为什么要 the law as it stands？ 你讲的就是说，目前现在我们法律上的规定是如此。好，这个用法上面，当我们谈到法律用字，往往是我们比较不熟悉的。可是呢，这个词汇在这边还蛮清楚的。现行法律它的规定是如下。接下来还有一点，他说哦，我们现在这样子的规定 ，such dress code。Can lead to workers suffering harassment. 好，原来其实想想为什么要女性化妆，为什么要女性穿高跟鞋，无非就是让他们看起来好像，哎，这边说如果这样子的打扮可能会导致什么样的结果，让员工受到骚扰的问题。这个字 harassment 就是指骚扰，当然最重要的是前面这个片语 leadto 导致什么样的结果，记得哦， lead to 后面加的有一个 workers suffering， 这整个是 to 后面的受词，后面的受词，所以你看到 suffering 加了 ing。 OK， 我们今天的讲解就到这边结束，我们下次见。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
All right, everybody, we're going to finish up our lesson now with some discussion questions. We have been talking about the petition today. They are taking action against sexist dress codes. And we're not really quite sure about the local policies here. Can companies in Taiwan require their female employees, or their male ones for that matter, to wear certain clothes to the office? Is that discriminatory? Is it sexist? Is it an example of harassment? I guess all of you need to discuss that amongst yourselves. But we've got some discussion questions here that might kick off your discussion. So here's our first question. What is a current law that you think should be changed and why?
Okay, well, I kind of mentioned this at the beginning of the unit, and it's about the new Taiwan labor law. I teach a couple of CEOs, and I've heard more about the law from them than the workers. But I've also read some articles in the newspaper, and now that the new Labor Standards Act requires you to have kind of 2 days of rest for every 5 days of working, it's costing some of these employers more money. I know with the convenience stores, their costs have gone up 20% already, trying to keep everybody obeying the law and still running the business. So it's kind of interesting. I know one very popular restaurant that sells Lu Ruo Fan. It's the guy with the beard. You know what I'm talking about. They've raised prices on their items up 13% just to try to cover what it's costing them to let their employees have so much time off. And I'm hearing employees upset that they don't get to work more overtime now. So it's really cut back on how much they can make in that way, too.
So that is a current law that you think should be changed.
I do.
And here in Taipei, of course, we've got the bike paths, and these laws keep coming out about the bike paths. And one that has come out recently is that if you're riding a bike on the bike path, you cannot stray out of the bike path or you will be fined. And I think they have this law in order to protect pedestrians. But the reason the bicycles have to stray out of the way is because those despicable pedestrians are walking in the bike lanes.
Yeah.
Why don't they fine the pedestrians for walking in the bike lanes?
Yeah.
I'm a person who rides my bicycle all over the place, and I'm getting sick and tired of having to slow down because there are two oba-sans walking there on the bike path, or somebody walking a dog, or somebody delivering things, or a car waiting in the intersection to turn, and I have to go around. I believe that law for the bike paths is totally ridiculous. I don't know what the government is thinking. They should all go back to school and get re-educated on bicycling.
I have a problem with that because I'm on Fuxing and over by Bottaloo a lot, and there's a new bike path there. But if you're waiting for the bus, you have to be on the bike path or the bus driver won't see you as you try to get him to stop to pick you up. So there's some problems with that because I've had bikes, you know, almost hit me. So we'll see. I think most laws have some problems with them. You just kind of make it the best you can. Not everyone's going to be happy.
And we've got another discussion question here. Are there any other laws that discriminate against a particular group?
Not that I know of. Can you think of any?
No, but there might be some out there. I think there it's not so much laws that discriminate against them, but that don't support them so much, like maybe handicapped people.
But they haven't been thought of as the law was created.
Haven't been taken into consideration. So again, maybe some of you can come up with some ideas in your own classroom discussions. That brings us to the end of our lesson for today. Thank you so much for joining us, and please join us again next time for another edition of our program. From all of us here at English Digest, I am Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
See ya.